Next up for the Oregon men, it's Cal. And who better to get us wired into Golden Bear basketball, who helps us prep for football as well, the man who for many years graced the Eugene Springfield airwaves. On Twitter, you could follow along using the handle at Todd McKim Sports. Todd McKim checks in. Todd, always appreciate the time. How's life treating you these days?
Hey, Todd.
It's doing great, guys. I got a beautiful sunny day here, a little cool, but other than basketball, things are going great.
Yeah, that's the place where you got to start. I mean, there's not a lot of sugarcoating. Lost a close one to Stanford this weekend, kind of a rough call late, an and-one reversed into a charge. Still looking for the first conference win. So in general, what's the word about what has gone so wrong so far this season, especially in league?
That's a good one to put into one word. Obviously, I'd say frustration, much as anything else. The Bears have played some good basketball at times. They haven't been able to put together a 40-minute game. I mean, I think there's a lot of teams that are in that category this year. But they've played stretches where they look pretty good. In fact, in the first half of almost every conference game, they've had the lead at some point in time. So that hasn't been the problem. It's the first 5 minutes of the second half that's been the biggest problem when you look at a time period in the course of a game. They just can't come out of the locker room consistently and play with energy and purpose, and offensively they haven't been able to execute. So that's something they got to figure out to correct. Maybe you change what you do at halftime. I don't know what it is. But at the end of the game, the Stanford game, they had a chance. Colorado, they had a chance. But those are really the only two games in conference play where they've really been in it in the last couple of minutes. So it's been a struggle. It's a young team, not a big team as far as size, only one guy over 6'8". A team that struggled shooting the basketball much of the year from the field and certainly the three-point line. So it's been frustrating for everybody involved.
Yeah, what's the attitude around the team right now? I mean, what's the feel? Going through a losing streak like the one they're on can be really tough to fight through. I mean, it's 10 games right now.
Yeah, again, I think it's frustration, disappointment. The team expected to be better than they are right now. But by the same token, the fact that they've played as well in the first half of games tells you that they're kind of ready to go, and so the previous game hasn't carried over to the next game. It's just being able to finish games, to play consistently for longer periods of times, and that's difficult to do for a team that has no seniors, has two juniors, one of which is a transfer. The other one hardly plays at all, Roman Davis. So it's primarily, you know, four or five freshmen and three or four sophomores get most of the run, and it's, you look at the league this year, who are the better teams? Washington. They got all those seniors that have been around the block for a lot of games, over 100 games for all those guys, or most of those guys, other than Jalen Nolan. Oregon State, veteran team. They know what they're doing. So, you know, those are the teams that are playing the best. USC, they're at the top of the, you know, that second group of teams. So those are the teams that are doing well, that have experience, that have been around the block. I think it's something Oregon's suffering with a little bit as well when you look at them. This is suddenly a really young basketball team, and with the injuries that they have throughout the course of the year, they just haven't had much continuity, and that's very difficult to overcome.
Talking with Todd McKim, Cal Basketball, I was reading a story where Athletic Director Jim Knowlton was asked about the status of Wyking Jones. I mean, he's only in his second year, has a five-year contract. I mean, Todd, you hear from fans, you see the attendance. It's only 53 games into his tenure. Is it too early to think, if this continues to go south, that his job might already be in jeopardy?
Well, I'm sure there's some people that think that way. And the athletic director, I'm not sure what else he's going to say during the course of the season.
Right.
If he's not going to make a change mid-season, then you have to say, hey, we're going to continue to evaluate all of our programs, basketball, you know, certainly front and center right now. So what else is he going to say at that point in time? At the end of the year, I mean, you guys know this as well as anybody, that you know, wins and losses is one thing, but when people don't show up at the games, yeah, and you start losing your gate and your attendance goes down, that weighs on an athletic director, especially at a place like Cal, where, you know, they've suffered monetary inefficiency over the course of the last decade or so. And so that comes into play maybe more than it does at some other places that have a nice bankroll and they don't have to worry about that. So, you know, there's a lot of things to consider. Do you think the program's going in the right direction? Do you like the young guys that are there? Do you think the head coach is the right guy to bring these guys along to improve and get better? Can he recruit? Can he get better players to come into the program. There's a lot of things to consider, and so we'll see what happens at the end of the year.
You mentioned one of the juniors earlier, a Paris Austin kid from the town, spent 2 years at Boise State, but then transferred back last year, forced a redshirt, now kind of runs the show for the Bears, hit a game winner against Cal Poly this year. When he's on, seems like he's pretty unstoppable. Consistency has sort of been an issue for him, but what is it about his game that makes him so tough to stop?
Well, he's got supreme confidence, first of all. He played at Bishop O'Dowd High School. They won a state championship with Ivan Rabb as his running mate on that team. So, you know, he's been used to running the show since he's been in the ninth grade at Bishop O'Dowd.
Yeah.
And without him, we really struggle. We don't have a second point guard. Darius McNeil is more of a combo guard, a better shooter than he is a ball handler. So Paris Austin has had to come in this year and direct and be the facilitator. And he's done a pretty good job of that for the most part. He had one game where he had 11 assists, no turnovers. Another game he had 9 assists, no turnovers. He's one of the leaders in the conference in assists, assist-to-turnover ratio. So that point guard position is so very, very important to any basketball team. He's the quarterback of the club. And so when he plays well, and he's pretty aggressive at the offensive end, he'll look for his shot. He's pretty good with the left hand, driving to the basket, not a great three-point shooter. But, you know, without him in the lineup, the Bears really struggle. So I would imagine Oregon's try to do their best to get the ball out of his hands and make somebody else make plays.
Talking Cal Hoops with Todd McKim, the top recruit in this class, Matt Bradley. I think he was a top 75 player in the country. Maybe struggle at times with his shot, but he's playing substantial minutes. So for the folks who have not seen much of him, how's he coming along? What do we like about his game?
Pretty good offensive player, really strong, 6'4", strong body. Mario Cristobal would love him as a football player. I can see him being a defensive end or a linebacker in that system because he's a tough kid, doesn't back down from anybody. Decision-making at times for a freshman has been a little bit inconsistent, but he's a guy that can shoot the ball. He's been leading the conference in three-point shooting overall, not in conference play, but overall. And he's strong going to the basket. Physical kid defensively, like most freshmen, can get lost at times. But he's a guy you can build around. He's a top, as you mentioned, a top 60, top 75 recruit, played at Wasatch Academy in South Utah last year. So he's a guy that I think people like to watch, will make some mistakes, but he'll also make some big plays.
Coach Wilcox a little upset with you for trying to send him over to Oregon, by the way. I am curious, though, because Cal has statistically one of the worst defensive stat lines in the history of the sport this year. There's usually a couple ways to look at it because college kids struggle for a lot of reasons. But, you know, usually effort is the first thing you point to on defense. So I guess, you know, helping someone on the outside looking in, trying to understand why they give up 80 points per game, what are some of the reasons for the struggles on that side?
I don't think they're overly athletic, first of all. Second of all, if you're playing four freshmen in your rotation, they're going to make mistakes.
Right.
It's just the way it works with freshmen in college basketball at the defensive end. A lot of these guys didn't play defense in high school. You know, it's go back there and rest for 20 seconds while your other guys play defense. Then at the offensive end, you get the ball and you shoot it kind of a deal. And so that's part of it. And then the other part is we have no rim protection. Even though we have a 7'3" guy in Connor Vanover, I wouldn't necessarily say he's a shot blocker. He doesn't play a lot of minutes because, from a conditioning standpoint, he's not there yet. And the next tallest guy is like 6'7", 6'8". So teams are taking the ball to the basket. You look at Stanford the other night, and that's what they want to do basically anyway. They want to take the ball to the basket with KZ Okpala and Dejon Davis. And they just got to the rim, you know, kind of at will. And you know, having watched Dana Altman's teams over the years, that's what they're going to do tomorrow night. They're going to drive the basketball and force the Bears to play defense in the interior and go hit the offensive glass. So it's been a problem all year long. It's not something they can really correct, I think, without roster changes. There's not a waiver wire in college basketball here in the month of February like baseball or maybe football. So it's something they're going to have to deal with. They play hard most of the time. It's just they're a little overwhelmed at that end of the court.
Yeah, I want to actually finish talking about Justin Wilcox because we spoke prior to the Pac-12 opener, and then the Bears kind of struggled then, but then they beat the Huskies. They lost a heartbreaker in Pullman. They beat USC. They got to a bowl. So how pleased are the folks with the improvement and direction Justin Wilcox has this program moving?
Other than the Cheez-It Bowl, I think the fans were pretty excited about how the Bears played this year, certainly defensively. And we were pretty good on special teams as well. Our punter was good. We covered kicks really well. So two of the three phases were good. Offense was awful, really struggled. And so they made some staff changes, moving Bo Baldwin. He's now not only the coordinator, but he's now the offensive quarterbacks coach as well. So I think he'll do a better job there in the quarterback room. So I think overall, guys, I think they're pleased with the direction of the program. Again, it's the old Abraham Lincoln line. You can please some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you can't please all the people all the time. So that's kind of where all coaches are on a daily basis.
Great stuff. always appreciate your insight and info, Todd. Follow him on Twitter, at Todd McKim Sports. Thanks for joining us, Todd. Have a great weekend, and obviously we look forward to catching up down the road.
Thanks, Todd.
Sounds good, guys. Anytime.
All right, take it easy. Todd is just so wired into that program. Chock full of information. Take a break, come back, wrap up the 4 o'clock hour Sports Talk, 95.3 The Score.